You're listening to View from the Couch, a podcast about TV, movies, DVD, and just about anything from parents with children. And now, your hosts, Kent and Michelle.
Hello, and welcome to View from the Couch for Wednesday, March the 2nd.
Hello.
Day of March. I don't know.
You don't know.
It just sort of came out that way.
Hi, we're back. I am not dead. Although my body tried to kill me.
Yeah.
I had sinusitis and bronchitis and...
You had troubles.
Aguritis.
With a capital
which
S.
Which is a guy, last name of a guy I went to high school with, a Greek guy, Aguritis. So if he's listening, and I'm sure he's not, sorry. I'm sure he's not, so I'm not sorry, you know? I'm not sorry.
You know, you're starting to look better. You're getting some color back.
Really?
You've been really pale for a long time, and it
was... I've been pale since birth.
Well, no. You have some natural redness right here on your cheekbones. Oop.
Oh, let's just hit that microphone.
But you've been really pale for a long time, and I noticed, and I just...
I looked like death. Looked like death warmed over. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I know, but you just look better now.
So you're just noticing that I look better?
Yeah. Hmm. Last couple days, you've got color in your face again.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. It's all the drink. Right. I'm Irish, you know.
Yeah.
You know what was a real waste of time?
What?
The Oscars.
Yeah?
The more I read and the more I hear, the more I'm glad we didn't waste 5 hours of our lives.
Oh, really?
Because we managed... We're watching it streaming online because we don't have cable.
Right.
And, wow, it was rough.
It cut. We got cut out. They kicked the this. Our streaming stream stopped flowing after.
Well, you know, once you're over 40, you have trouble with your stream.
We got the first 5 or 10 minutes, and then that was all.
It's more
got.
Than that. I because I had watched all the red carpet and.
Well, yeah, but that's before they even start.
Yeah, we got a ways into it.
No, because I got down here at 7:05, and that's about when they stopped working.
But that's half. That's 35 minutes. It starts at 6:30, our time.
Oh, I thought it started at 7.
Nope. You came down and said, am I late? Did I miss the opening thing? And I said, yeah.
Oh, crap.
Yeah. You missed a lot. You missed the swearing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bummer. Oh, well. Anyway, so
yeah,
it was that.
Well, Kirk Douglas is still alive. Let's see him. But don't let him talk for very long.
Right.
Because the poor man's had a stroke, and it was hard. It was
Kirk
really...
Douglas.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm thinking of Michael. They were both
that's his
on
son.
There? Revived
no.
and alive?
No, Michael Douglas. Kirk Douglas is his father.
Well, that's what you said. You said he was on the show.
Yeah.
Kirk Douglas was?
Kirk Douglas.
Okay.
Good Lord. Yes, Kirk Douglas, the elder, the older Douglas, the
okay.
dad,
I'm
who was in
now.
Spartacus.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, wow.
And he went on and on, did he?
Well, it was uncomfortable. Uncomfortable is the best word to sum up what I saw and what I've heard other people saw.
Okay.
It just, I don't know.
Does he have trouble speaking?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's had a stroke and he's about 150 years old, so.
All 150-year-olds out there are raising their fists in protest
at you.
I
know. There are no 150-year-olds. Except maybe for Hitler. Maybe Hitler's still around and he's 150. I don't know. It was awkward. It was awkward and uncomfortable. And, James Franco and Anne Hathaway, they were, obviously, if you don't, you've probably heard by now because everybody's talking, they hosted the show. And the whole point, and they didn't waste any time getting to the point, was... They're trying to appeal to a younger demographic, which is why they had them host it. So they were kind of making fun of that, and they did an okay job. I mean, that's a tough crowd. That's a tough room to try and entertain.
Mm-hmm.
And they were doing okay. But, you know, when you start the Oscars out with that movie parody, so there's all the Oscar-nominated films. Like, Billy Crystal did that originally.
Right.
And then it was funny. He rode a horse out on stage. Mm-hmm. You know, it was all good. Back in the City Slickers days, that was a new concept. And they're now doing it all the time. And it's just not funny anymore. It's not funny. It starts the show off kind of off pace.
Yeah.
And then it just, I don't know, it felt like, it just couldn't find itself. It felt like last night's broadcast couldn't figure out what it wanted to be, who it wanted to appeal to. The Oscars used to have this prestige about them. I don't know if the caliber of Hollywood actors have changed so that, they're more.
Well, was Lindsay Lohan there? That would sum it up.
Back in previous years, they were more, they're more Hollywood legends, these great people.
They were glamorous.
Yeah. Nowadays, they're a lot more like the everyday kind of person.
Right.
So maybe that's what it is. Maybe that it's just, the real magic of it is gone.
Well, I don't think so. Probably what it is that they used to always be accused of being boring. Yeah. They were too long. They were boring. So they've tried to liven it up.
They've opted for uncomfortable and awkward.
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't see enough of it to say much.
Somebody needs to take a close look. I mean, it's...
Who won?
It's the... Just a minute.
That's what
it's
I
the
know.
83rd anniversary. It's the 83rd broadcast. I think it's time to sit... For the Academy to sit back, look at it, and say... What does this need? Now I sound like a communications guy. Funny that I am. Sit back and say, what is this meant to achieve? What's the purpose of this? Who's the audience? How would we measure success? The end of the telecast, is it that it's on time? Is it that it's on budget? Is it that it's talked about, tweeted about, Facebook posted about for the next? Like, are there any goals? I just don't get the sense that there's anything driving it. There's no foundation. There's no direction. And it's just become something that's done every year that has no personality to it, really. And the harder they try to find its personality or recreate or reimagine its personality, the worse it seems to get.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know.
I have a feeling... It has a lot to do with who's directing.
So do the Black Eyed Peas.
Because there are good years and there are bad years. And what changes is probably the director.
Maybe.
So.
Could be.
It could just all come down to that.
See, and the other thing, too, no big musical numbers. Like, there have been big musical numbers. There have been big performances before. One thing that I heard on the radio this morning on the way to work was... it was pretty painfully obvious that Halle Berry was brought in to present a category because there were no African American women nominated this year. So it kind of felt awkward and forced that they were trying to meet that demographic. I don't know.
So,
no surprise to anyone who's read the paper, listened to the radio or whatever, the King's Speech took the top awards for best film, best actor, best director, and best original screenplay. We still have not seen it.
No, we haven't.
And we've bemoaned this in previous years that we don't often get out to see the Oscar-nominated films. It seems like life is busy and the window to see them before the Oscars is narrow. But now we know the films that are really high on our list.
Right.
Inception really dominated the technical awards. It got 4 wins in cinematography, visual effects, sound editing, and sound mixing. But a lot of people would say Chris Nolan was snubbed for Best Director. Inception could have or should have won Best Picture. But, I mean, how do you compete against Colin Firth in The King's Speech?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So Black Swan scored Best Actress.
Wow.
For Natalie Portman. Congratulations, yeah. Natalie. And she's going on to co-star in Thor, which is a real big move for her career. It seems weird to go from an Academy. Well, Everybody, listen, I'm not running down the comic book movies. I love the comic book movies, but it just seems weird, but whatever.
Well, you know what? She has done a whole wide variety of things.
She's an eclectic performer.
Yeah. So, she did. She was Padme. That's almost...
Yeah, Padme Amidala.
That's almost...
George Lucas's train wreck.
Superhero-ish.
Yeah.
It's the same sort of idea.
So The Fighter took both supporting performances, actor and actress. Toy Story 3 won 2 nods, one for best animated feature and one for song.
And Alice in Wonderland got 2 awards for art direction and costumes.
Yes. Which were deserved, I would say.
Definitely costumes, yeah.
So Anne, back to the hosting a little bit. Anne Hathaway is really fun, and I think she's going to be great as Catwoman. I'm very interested to see how she's going to take that role. People say, oh, she's too fun, she's too lighthearted, but she's had some pretty dark moments in some of her roles. So, James Franco was great in 127 Hours.
Mm-hmm.
I saw that. I'm protecting you from seeing it.
Yeah.
But really, really good. Danny Boyle, of course, movie. So, yeah.
I wish I'd actually seen them, because I usually don't agree with what people say. I probably would have liked them.
Yeah. Like them hosting?
Like the whole thing.
Yeah. Maybe.
I'm not hard to please. I usually like most things.
That's why you married me.
Uh-huh.
That's not a shot at you. It's a shot at me. Yeah. So, I don't know. Apparently one of the, and now we didn't see this, but Robert Downey Jr. and Jude Law, joining up to present one of the awards was a highlight of the evening, just because of their banter in the Sherlock Holmes movies. So, Colin Firth, best actor, Natalie Portman, best actress for Black Swan, Tom Hooper won best director for King's Speech. Best actor in a supporting role went to Christian Bale. Actress in a supporting role, Melissa Leo, who dropped the F-bomb. And I don't mean fighter. Best foreign language film went to Denmark for a film called In a Better World. Animated feature, as we say, went to Toy Story 3. Screenplay adapted went to Aaron Sorkin for Social Network. Aaron Sorkin's presentation speech, or his acceptance speech, was also fantastic. Very good. David Seidler for The King's Speech won Best Screenplay. Alice in Wonderland, Best Art Direction. As we said, Inception for Cinematography, Alice in Wonderland Costume Design, Inside Job for Documentary Feature, Strangers No More for Documentary Short Subject, Social Network for Film Editing, The Wolfman for Makeup, which I still haven't seen and keep meaning to.
The Wolfman? I don't think I've even heard of that one.
Yeah, it's... Benicio del Toro and Anthony Hopkins. Best score went to Trent Reznor, of course, from Nine Inch Nails, and Atticus Ross for The Social Network, which we haven't seen, and I keep meaning to see that. We Belong Together, which was a great tune from Toy Story 3, got Best Song. The Lost Thing got Best Short Animated Film. God of Love got Best Short Film Live Action. Inception for Sound Editing. Inception for Sound Mixing. Inception for Visual Effects. That was your 2001 Oscar winners.
And Best Picture was The King's Speech.
Yes, correct. That is correct.
All right. There we go.
Moving right along, this is a couple weeks ago now that we saw this, but we finally got a chance to see Tangled.
We did.
Why don't you talk about it?
Okay. Well, it's, as most people know, a Disney take on a classic, which would be Rapunzel. And it was really, really well done. I think we all loved it. We all enjoyed it a lot. And I think sometimes Disney gets put through the ringer a bit for the way they mess with the classics. But I think in this case, they brought some really interesting features to it. Like she, you know, the woman holding her in the tower. I don't know, she didn't really... In the fairy tale, I don't remember that person having much of a role,
if she even existed. I don't remember there being a person.
Maybe not. She was just, imprisoned in a tower, and, yeah. So that role, that character, they entirely created, pretty much.
Yeah.
And they could have made her a wicked, evil, mean, you know, imprisoner, and,
Imprisoner.
Yes.
Wow.
What word
That's
would
not
you
even
say?
A word, imprisoner. Captor.
Same thing.
Captor, jailer, but imprisoner.
Those are boring. Imprisoner has...
So, what you all doing over there? You imprisoner?
Nothing. That's why I like to make up new words, because the old words are boring. Why use the same word everyone else uses? Come up with something on, you know, out of your own head.
Alrighty.
Anyway, and so... She, later in on, well, I won't give anything away in case you haven't seen it, but she's not a horrible, evil,
kind
mean.
Of.
She's not, but she, I mean, okay. She's not lovey, warm, and affectionate necessarily.
But and Donna Murphy voices that character, and she's awesome.
Amazing singing voice.
Yes.
Has very she done talented. What else has she sung in? I don't even know who she is.
Donna Murphy has a very extensive career that I don't have all the details on, but she is a consummate performer, has done many. I think she's done Broadway. Well, I think I told you the best way to describe to you, this is unfortunate. She played Captain Picard's love interest in one of the Star Trek Next Generation movies.
Oh.
Yeah, she's great.
Funny. Mandy Moore also.
Yeah.
Amazing job.
Great voice.
An amazing voice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And the guy who did the main
Zachary
character.
Zachary Levi.
Yeah, the main male lead. He was... I don't really know who he is either, but also did a really good job.
Yep.
And, you know, there it had its laughs, it had its tears.
You cried at one point, didn't you?
I think I did, yeah. Yes, I did.
Oh, it was the when she's reunited with her parents.
No, it was before that, when the king and queen were having a moment together of sadness.
Sadness, yes.
Just the grief that they were able to portray on the king's face was
and he had
amazing.
He didn't say anything. He sighed.
And it just the look on his face broke my heart.
Amazing, amazing animation.
Yeah. So.
It's Disney.
It is Disney. But it's Disney done very well, I thought.
What I have heard, and I can't remember where I read or heard this, was that Disney Animation is now looking at putting a moratorium on princess stories because I guess Princess and the Frog didn't do as well as they'd hoped. I thought Princess and the Frog was awesome.
Yeah.
That was a great, great movie. I'm going to watch it now. I think it's fantastic. It's a great story, great characters, beautiful animation. So I think they were a little bit disappointed by how it performed. And then Tangled came out and Tangled did very, very well. So I don't know if it's a matter of they had decided already that this was going to be the last princess movie, but that's what I've read, or that's what I've heard, is that they're
going
to... And
I believe I heard you say they were now going to try and focus on prince stories.
Oh.
To give something to the boys.
You didn't hear me say that. That's interesting.
Yeah, I heard that that's kind of what they're thinking now, is to try and draw more of the younger male crowd in. Hmm. But I don't know.
You know, it's interesting. The film was originally titled and marketed as Rapunzel, not surprisingly, because that's the name the name of the character, until it was changed to Tangled shortly before its release. And I think that was a great choice.
Yeah, I
great choice.
Too.
Made it a little bit more contemporary in all the right ways.
Yeah.
To date, you know, this is interesting. To date, it's the second most expensive film ever made.
Wow,
and
really?
And it's the most expensive animated film with a budget of $260 million for an animated film. It's also noted for being the second highest grossing animated film in the Disney animated canon.
Wow.
And that's adjusted for inflation, so based on when movies were released and the value of the dollar at the time. Behind only The Lion King. So that's interesting.
Yeah.
And speaking of Disney and Lion King and things like that, music was done by Alan Menken. And great. You know what? It took me a while to kind of get used to the approach they took on it, but once you get into it, it's quite good.
Yeah. I think what really made the movie was the character of Rapunzel herself.
Yeah, Mandy Moore is fantastic.
And the way they created the character, she was so full of life and you know, gung-ho and excited and, I don't know, just jumping around and made it very fun to watch.
Yeah, it was fun. So as Michelle mentioned, Mandy Moore, Zachary Levi, Donna Murphy. But then I knew I recognized his voice in there. Ron Perlman played the Stabbington brothers, two big thugs.
Oh, yeah.
Jeffrey Tambor voiced a character. Richard Kyle voiced a character. And MC Gainey voiced a character as well. So lots of recognizable voices. And then additional voices for me, having worked and done voice work and knowing some of these names: Michael Bell, Bob Bergen, Pat Fraley, Anne Lockhart. Who else have we got in there? Fred Tatasciore. It's funny. Fred, he's the voice actor who voices the Hulk in all the animated stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So he does Hulk smash. Roar! Kerry Walgren, So lots of Rapunzel's character, animal companion character, was a chameleon named Pascal. He's cool.
He was cute, yeah.
And there's also the horse. It's the head of the palace guard. The horse named Maximus is also a fun character.
Yeah, they both. It's just the amount of creativity and imagination, and you know, it just boggles my mind, actually.
Okay, here we go. Here's some of the details that I found. When first put into production, the film was promoted as having the title Rapunzel Unbraided, which was then changed to Rapunzel and then became Tangled. Disney's previous animated feature, here's that bit, Princess and the Frog in 2009, while being highly critically acclaimed and taking in nearly $270 million worldwide, was not as successful as Disney had hoped. They expressed the belief that the film's emphasis on princesses may have deterred young boys from seeing the film. To market the film to both boys and girls, Disney changed the film's name from Rapunzel to Tangled, and also emphasized Flynn Rider, the main character, the main male character and the love interest. There you go.
That was a good idea.
It's interesting because Floyd Norman, a former Disney and Pixar animator and story artist, said, and I quote, "The idea of changing the title of a classic like Rapunzel to Tangled is beyond stupid. I'm convinced they'll gain nothing from this except the public seeing Disney is desperately trying to find an audience." Wow. This is interesting, too. Justin Chang of Variety compared it to changing the title of The Little Mermaid to Beached. It's kind of funny. I didn't hate it. Didn't make me hate it.
Not at all.
Like I said, I think they contemporized a fairy tale in all the right ways. What else? What else? What else? The film is made using computer-generated imagery, although Tangled was modeled on the traditional approach of paintings on canvas. And I think you can get that sense from it. Glenn Keane, involved in the making of the film, wanted the film to look and feel like a traditional hand-drawn Disney film in 3D. And so he wanted to have all the best of both worlds, to have the CG effect and also the timelessness of hand-drawn animation. Oh, existing CGI technology continued to present difficulties during production. In particularly, animating hair turned out to be a challenge. And I think if you've watched any of the Pixar special features or watched any or listened to any of those guys talk, hair, clothing, human skin have all been challenges. They seem to be getting a handle on it, but I think it's just going to get better and better all the time. So. An improved version of a hair simulation program called Dynamic Wires that was originally developed for Bolt, that's interesting, along with other techniques had to be invented to make it all possible. So they took on this follically-driven character and had to make it happen.
And about long hair.
And the hair is another character.
Yeah.
You know, it's very much another character. It's an it's literally an extension of Rapunzel. But, it's great.
Even if you don't have kids, it's fun. It's worth seeing
it. It's a lot of fun.
Because it's got a lot in it that's for adults, too. Yeah. So.
A lot of depth, great character development, great story development, great writing. Just a good film. Rotten Tomatoes reports 90% of critics have given the film a positive review based on 162 reviews, with an average score of 7.5 out of 10. Where else have we got? Metacritic, which I often refer to, assigns a weighted average score from 0 to 100 and has calculated a score of 72 based on 33 reviews. A.O. Scott of New York Times positively reviewed the film as the 50th animated feature from Disney, and its look and spirit conveyed a modified, updated, but nonetheless sincere and unmistakable quality of old-fashioned Disneyness. And I would agree.
Nice.
Time film critic Richard Corliss noted the film wades into the DreamWorks style of sitcom gags and anachronistic sass, while also praising the film for achieving the complex mix of romance, comedy, adventure, and heart that defines the best Disney features. There it is. Tangled. So if you haven't seen it, run out and see it. As Michelle says, it's a great date movie. Take your wife, take your girlfriend, whatever. It's a lot of fun. And thanks to Disney saying, hey, what about the boys in the audience? There's a lot of fun there, too. There's a lot of swashbuckling kind of adventure stuff. And neither character dominates. So the Rapunzel, the female main character, is not the strongest character by any means, nor is Flynn Rider the male character. And that's not his name either. Ha-ha! But I'll leave that to you to find out.
You know, and just like same with the Princess and the Frog, Connor loved them both just as much as Emily did.
Yep.
So
that speaks to
even if they aren't maybe targeted or they don't seem like they could be for either, they really are.
Yeah, really are for both.
And you know, every Disney movie has a male lead.
Yep.
So I don't know why there's concern about the boys. But anyway.
I'm not concerned.
Good, I'm glad.
So that's been View from the Couch for March the 2nd, 3rd, 1st, 2nd. Yes,
and Mastermind came out on DVD.
Yeah, Blu-ray. And it's actually called Megamind.
Megamind. I can never get that right. Shall keep
saying Mastermind. So yes, Megamind is out on DVD.
What's the other character in that movie?
Metro Man.
Oh, I can never get that straight.
You know, I read something today that was very interesting to me. It's now out on Blu-ray, obviously, as Michelle just said. And we picked it up. I like Blu-ray. I like animated movies, so I picked it up. I'm still waiting for The Incredibles, which is coming soon, I think.
And Bambi is out as well, which you need to go pick up.
That's right. So back to Megamind. You know, it came out during the same time as How to Train Your Dragon. Ouch. Because How to Train Your Dragon is really, 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 really good.
Yeah.
So in a time when some of the other animated films that came out, you know, if it had come out on its own, it probably would have really stood out. But, you know, when Despicable Me was out, kind of focused around a villain becoming a hero, and then Megamind came out after, you know, it's unfortunate. And it's just, it's a lot like when Bolt came out. Bolt, Disney released Bolt, and some other movies had come out around the same time, and it really got kicked in the teeth. You know, it just got bowled over, so...
It's too bad, because they're both really good movies.
Yeah, only so many dollars to spend on movies, so people kind of pick and choose.
Yeah.
And sometimes films get left in the dust. Even in the Oscars, they get left in the dust.
Yes, yes. But those are three good ones to pick up.
So Tangled, Megamind, and...
Bolt.
You threw Bolt in there. And Bambi comes out this week, too, on Blu-ray.
But I'm just throwing out ones that are good to see that maybe people missed.
Yep. And, if you... As I've often laughed at, there's a trailer or something about, I think it might have been for Star Wars when it was released on video, when one of the 50,000 times it was released. The voiceover said, "See it again for the first time." So it's like Bambi. Mm-hmm. You haven't seen Bambi in a long time? Check out Bambi, because on Blu-ray I hear it's smoking.
And our kids absolutely adore that movie.
My kids, your kids, their kids. So thanks a lot, everybody. Thanks for tuning in, and I'm glad to be back, apparently now, with more color. So have a great week, and we'll catch you next time. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to View from the Couch, a DVD Verdict podcast. View from the Couch is available exclusively on DVDverdict.com. Watch for new episodes every week. Thanks for your continued support. Kent and Michelle appreciate it. Be sure to visit DVDverdict.com for the latest in DVD and theatrical release reviews, DVD release information, talent interviews, event coverage, and much, much more.